let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's more than just a television series. Professors have written about it. Psychologists have lectured on it. Modern Family, premiering in 2009, has garnered tens of millions of devoted fans, earning 75 Emmy nominations and 22 Emmy Awards, including 5 in a row for Outstanding Comedy Series, one of only 2 sitcoms to ever achieve that feat. On April 8th, Modern Family, one of the most popular sitcoms in television history, ended its epic 11-year run. But fans won't have to say goodbye to the show just yet. With full participation of the cast and crew, Mark Freeman's new book, Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms, shares behind-the-scenes stories from the first table read through the last light turning out. Mark is a freelance senior-level writer, journalist for publications, including Vanity Fair, The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, USA Today, Huffington Post, Forbes, and many more, covering pop culture, entertainment, American history, film, and TV. Known for a series of critically acclaimed oral histories on many groundbreaking television shows, including MASH, Frasier, The Bob Newhart Show, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and now with his first book, Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms, available wherever books are sold. And Mark Freeman is our guest on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
A, thanks for having me. B, I think that was the greatest introduction I've ever had for my work, and I'm going to retire on that.
Well, don't retire, but boy, if there's anything, if there's a mic drop moment in literary work, it's this one. This is such an outstanding book, and if you're a fan of Modern Family, this is for you. If you're a fan of television and really never saw an episode of Modern Family, this is for you as well, because you cover so much of the behind the scenes of television. And I want to talk a minute about that, the access that you had. When I said full participation, I wasn't kidding. In fact, you said they welcomed me in almost like I was part of the family. What was that like, having this access and writing this oral history basically in real time?
Well, it was somewhat of a unique project because most oral histories reflect backwards. You look back on a series as a whole. And what I liked about this one was the idea that it was still a living entity, so you could capture the present, which I did by being on set, in addition to interviewing people on the phone. And then there was also a future element, because I knew the series was in its last year, and I would cover it all the way from to the final frame. That last season, I started the first day the writers came back to plan the season, and I stepped through the whole process to see how they were going to wrap up something that America had followed for so long. And in doing that, first of all, everyone, as you said, incredibly friendly, eerily friendly. And then second, as you start to talk to them and you gain their trust, then they want to tell you more and more about their experience. And they have 11 years worth of experience plus prior knowledge and work that they bring with them. So I got to hang with them on set, like I said, talk with them multiple times on phone, follow up with little quick questions here or there. One of the things I like to do in an oral history, that's my preference, not all oral histories go this way, but I really like to create the element of a roundtable discussion. So if I talk to somebody and they tell me a particular thing and mention somebody, I might go back to that second person and say, you know, yes, Bob just said this. And that way it's almost like putting puzzle pieces together when you do the thing. And so having this unlimited access to everybody really made that easy. And hanging out with the crew, I thought, was another really important element, because the crew, throughout history of television, their stories often don't get told. They go to the grave with them, but they were on set with when all these iconic moments and series were airing. And I really wanted to capture their perspective, in addition to the cast and the crew, writers, directors, and so on, but like the actual production
yes.
crew.
You know, it is an interesting perspective with the crew, because you sense that, boy, they're not just saying this, they really appreciate the people they're working with, the talent they're working with. One of the cameramen saying, I had to learn a new skill. I had to learn how to run a camera and laugh at the same time. It sounded like they were enjoying this ride just as much as everybody else was.
You know, on two levels, the crew itself are incredibly close. And one of the producers of the show was actually trying to find another series after this one while I was there in the last couple of weeks, where he could take the entire crew and bring them over, which is pretty much never done on TV, but he was really trying to do it because they worked well together on a practical level. They enjoyed each other, and there was no histrionics. On the second level, the cast was incredibly close with them, to the point that they would take them with them on vacations or trips. Eric Stonestreet's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, and while I was there, he was taking this one guy with him to see a game at Arrowhead Stadium. And there was a million stories like that, going on vacation with the stars and so on, because to them, working with them day in and day out, they're not stars. They're people who happen to be actors
yes.
and very good at their craft. But you get to know somebody on a very intimate level when you're there 10 to 12 hours, although this show moved a lot faster. But typically when you're there 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day, spending more time with them than you do your own family.
Mark Freeman, our guest on the program, we're talking about his book, Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms. Books available wherever books are sold. And in talking about working with the cast and all the time on the set, you have Ed O'Neill's Book of Acting there, and he's got this great, we could use his rules of acting in real life. It's like, let's just go in, get it done, go home and cook some meat. I mean, that's pretty much his philosophy, correct?
Yeah, you know, one of my goals in this book, in a sense, was to let the stories come to me and then formulate the structure of it. And one of the things that came early on was, okay, I'm going to tell the story in somewhat of a linear fashion, but I'm going to break it up with individual stories that give you the flavor of what it's like to be on the set.
Yes.
And one of them that was told to me very early on by Eric Stonestreet and Ty Burrell was Ed O'Neill's Book of Acting, which it was a joke on the set, but it was these little tidbits that Ed had acquired over decades of being in Hollywood of ways to make scenes go faster, to be on set less, to do less work in a way. You know, one of the favorites that everyone would tend to mention would be the walking off set. Like you're filming a scene, and if you exit stage left or stage right in the scene, in a natural way for the character, you don't have to be there when they do pickups, so you only have to be there for the first scenes. And so everyone used to laugh about that one, or the Ed mantra, which was like, why stand when you can sit? Why sit when
yes.
you can lie down? And just these hilarious things that Ty actually compiled, and they were talking about giving as a gift to the cast and crew when the series wrapped. But when they told me about it right away, I said, this has to be a chapter, because it's just so out there and too funny. And even Ed would read it. I was on set, and I was sitting with Ed and Stephen Merchant, and I had a printed copy of it because I wanted Ed to look it over and make sure the rules were right. And he would laugh at it, and he was showing it to Stephen Merchant, and he was laughing at it. And it's just this funny little, I don't even know what you call it, but it's a funny little tidbit story.
Well, yes, his rules for acting, basically an exercise in energy efficiency, and that works for all of us in real life. One of the many great stories you'll find in Mark's book, Modern Family, and as I'm reading this, and I heard this a little bit over the course of the years, when they're casting, they were trying to get the perfect cast together for this series, and it could have been what Craig T. Nelson instead of Ed O'Neill that we're talking about in as one of the main characters.
Yeah, so all along, it was pretty much down to Craig and Ed. And Ed, they wanted him to read. He really didn't want to do a series. And they were also plotting a potential second series with Josh Gad, in which Ed would have played Josh Gad's father. And when they put together the pilot script, at the very head of the script, they put pictures, prototypes of who might play some of the roles, so that when people were reading it, they could envision somebody as they were reading, which would be important to a script like this because there's so many moving parts, 11 roles and eventually 12
yes.
speaking parts. And so the prototype for Jay Pritchett was Craig T. Nelson, that his picture was on there. And so when it got down to the network executives choosing Craig or Ed, they actually chose Craig because subliminally they had seen the picture, and so that's how they pictured it. But Craig made the mistake that Ed knew and actually preferred, which is Craig saw it as a starring vehicle. He had starred on Coach, and he was used to being in the starring position. Whereas Ed looked at it like this is an ensemble cast and I get to be part of an ensemble and I don't have to carry the show and that'll be great. And so Craig came back with some high demands of salary and expectations and they pulled the offer and then they offered it to Ed and he jumped on right away.
And Claire could have been somebody else, too. I'm looking through the names in the book. Julie Boland, of course, got the role and did it so well. But there were some other big names considered for that role as well.
Yeah, so, you know, the big thing about Julie, which is kind of a funny phrase to say it that way, the big thing, but she was pregnant. So she had a big belly at the time. And
yes.
Because of that, and I think the casting director would say this as well, she wasn't under serious consideration at first because she was supposedly out of the running because she was pregnant. So one of the early prototype was Lisa Kudrow. Her picture was in the pilot, but her people never actually showed her the script, which is kind of a no-no, but they thought that she wouldn't want to do another series after having come off of Friends. And so she was out, and then they worked their way through every comedic television actress. Deborah Messing was in there. This woman, Rachel Harris, who eventually guests on an episode. They really wanted her for a while. There was hundreds of people in the end, and they thought they had tapped into everything. And then they went back to two pregnant women, and one was Julie, and they loved her, but they couldn't get over the pregnant fact because the character wasn't having any more children. But then they kind of took a step back and they thought about it and they said, why would we defeat an entire series based on what will only really be apparent in the pilot? And so they eventually decided they loved her and they loved her talent, so they decided to work around it, which if you watch the pilot is always fun to see all the things that are stuck in front of her so that you can't see her belly and they can get away with the fact that she's pregnant in real life, but not on the show.
Yes, and knowing that, it takes on a whole new, when you're looking at it, suddenly it's jumping out like, oh, now I know why they have her positioned over there. Mark Freeman is our guest on the program. The book is Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms. Let's talk about the beginning of this. When this concept is developed by Chris Floyd and Steve Levitan, you've got a great chapter in that they're all great. This one, Written in the Stars, really goes behind the scenes as to how a TV series gets born, how it finds a network. Basically, four networks at the time. It's interesting, three were in consideration, but they had bad experience with Fox. They just wrote them off from the very beginning, didn't they?
Yeah, so they had done a series for Fox, Back to You, which had a lot of backing behind it. It had Kelsey Grammer, Patricia Heaton, it had Josh Gad, it had Ty Burrell and Fred Willard in supporting roles. So it was a strong cast, and you had two strong showrunners, Chris and Steve, and it should have never been on the Fox network. It really just didn't fit into, if you think of the comedies that were on Fox, they had done Married with Children, they had their Simpsons and animated kind of snarky comedy, and Back to You just really didn't fit into it. And Steve had said on numerous occasions when we were talking, if Back to You had been on CBS, it probably would have run 8 or 9 years and they never would have done Modern Family. But it went on Fox, and they clashed with the Fox executives who did something that's not uncommon for Hollywood, which is executives who think they know more than the creative people creating a show. So they start giving them advice. You should write this. You should add that character. And neither of them, being Chris and Steve, really appreciated it, and they eventually locked horns. And it got bad enough that the show was picked up for another season and then subsequently canceled a week or two later, which is really rare because you either pick up a series or you don't.
Yes.
So they said they were picking it up, and then they basically, Chris and Steve said, if you're not going to let us do our show, we don't want to do the show, and they canceled it.
With us on the program, Mark Freeman. The book is Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms. We're going to take a break, come back. When we come back, I want to pick up on that story because they went to CBS first and ABC almost didn't happen. We'll talk about that when we're back with Mark after these messages. Welcome back This Week in America. Mark Freeman is with us on the program, author of the book Modern Family, The Untold Oral History of One of Television's Groundbreaking Sitcoms. We're talking about the early days when the creators, Chris Floyd and Steve Levitan, were shopping this to the networks. And I mentioned before we left, what CBS was first up. In fact, they had an offer, I believe, from CBS, but it ended up on ABC. How did that all happen?
Well, it's very typical in pilot season, and pilot season in and of itself is fascinating because you shoot a gazillion pilots and a very limited number make it to television, which means all the money that goes into the pilots that don't make it on air becomes wasted money. This was different because you had two established Hollywood figures in television coming with a series, and Chris had come from Frasier and Wings, and Steve had come from Just Shoot Me and also had done some work with Frasier and Wings. So you had strong people with a nice pedigree behind them, and they knew that they had a good script and that people would be into it. So they went to CBS, and CBS made an offer, but it wasn't a strong offer because, again, it didn't totally fit into the CBS lineup. If you think of your CSIs and your How I Met Your Mothers and
yes.
so on, it's not a videotaped live audience sitcom, and it's not a one-hour drama. But they did make an offer. Then they went to NBC, and NBC was into it, but they said, you know, here's the deal. The Office is already a mockumentary, so that they're using that style. Parks and Recreation is coming out, and they're going to be using that style. We'd love to have you if you don't do the mockumentary. And they kind of felt it's important to the presentation of the show, and they didn't really want to lose that. So NBC was out. They always thought ABC was a good fit. ABC was in need of comedies. They were looking for a makeover. And they also had a deal with Sofia Vergara, who they knew they had wanted to cast. So ABC had a holding contract with her. So if they wanted to use her, they'd have to go to ABC. So they saved ABC for last. And they did a presentation which in today's world would seem normal, but back then it was considered crazy, which is that Steve did the presentation with Chris using his laptop computer and was able to show clips of his real life in addition to the presentation. And in doing so, got ABC so excited, they basically said in the meeting, we have to have this, whatever you want, we will do this. And so it was a happy ending for all.
Well, it was, and the head of ABC Entertainment said, this is one of the best pitches I've ever seen, and it's so funny with the laptop, because it wasn't that many years ago, but you're thinking, okay, this was almost revolutionary when they were doing a pitch, and what they were talking about, the situation where in the pilot, Phil shoots Luke with the BB gun, and that happened when in Steve's real life, and he had it on the laptop, he was able to show it and help seal the deal.
Well, you know, that was a happenstance moment. He hadn't really thought about it. The other thing in the presentation that most people didn't get to enjoy when they saw it in the pilot because there was so much chatter about the series leading up to it was in the presentation they presented three families, and at the very end of the presentation they showed you that all three families were actually connected as one big family.
Yes.
And that reveal for the people who got the opportunities, like the writers who came in and were hired for the show, or people who were there at the first table read, they said that that moment blew them away, and that's what blew the ABC executives away. They're like, oh my God, that's how this is connected, this revelation. Well, when the show came on the air, ABC made the decision to tell the audience that, and so they felt, oh, they won't remember it from the advertising, but it'll be good to have in the advertising. So a lot of the people internally, they gave in on the point because they wanted the show on the air, but they always felt it would have been even more impactful if they had no idea that the families were connected.
And then, yeah, have that suddenly you're told that there towards the end. How did they come up with this concept of really taking real life situations? I mean, that resonated with the public right away because so much of it was relatable and like, yeah, that happens in real life. And what it came with these people, all the creative people basically opened up their life stories. I mean, throwing out stories that might've been humiliating, but if they were funny, they possibly made it into the show.
Well, one of my favorite chapters in the book is showing the origins of a lot of the plot lines.
Yes.
The writers considered, and more than one said this, that the writer's room was therapy, and you had to, outside of, I didn't see any couches when I was there, but outside of the couches, you just had to be willing to lay your entire life on the table, your embarrassing moments as good as your proud achievements, or little nuances of something that happened the night before, an argument or a discussion with a child, and usually those were the kernels of ideas, much as it was the kernel for the series, which came about when the two showrunners, in trying to find another series, always found themselves catching up each other on their personal lives with their respective wives and kids, and that, they realized, are the best stories they're telling each other, so why try to force a series when we could actually create a series based on these little moments that we're relating to and we think everyone will relate to. So by the time you get all the writers together and you've kind of set the table of that's the foundation we're after, the writers are sharing all these little stories of themselves, and that relatable aspect, similar to, I always point out when they say Seinfeld's a show about nothing, it is and it isn't, but the nothingness are little things that happen to us in our day. Modern Family are little things that happen to us in our family that we can all relate to, and there wasn't anything like it at the time, and really as much afterwards there hasn't been anything like it either.
I got about 2 minutes left. One of the classic episodes, one of the funniest moments, was a real life moment. Just talk about that for a second here. Caught in the Act. This, people still joke about this and even use the line from the show. Talk about that, because that what actually happened in one of the creators' lives.
Yeah, so it happened to Steve Levitan on a houseboat, as I recall, when one of his daughters stepped in and then very quickly stepped out. And he brought it to the writer's room as an idea, and other writers said that, yes, their children had caught them at an inopportune moment. And they developed off of that. They built on it. And one of the interesting things about it is the iconic moment happens right up front. So typically you build to something to the climax. Well, this entire episode, that plot line of the episode, is all the fallout of the three kids walking in to as a present to their parents, an anniversary present, and capturing them in an inopportune moment, as
yes,
I said before.
Yes.
And so the fallout just comes from that.
Yeah, that line, whatever it is, it looks like Dad was winning. That's one of the classic lines that will go down in television history. You know, and speaking of that as well, I mean, when we're talking about Chris Floyd and Steve Levitan, we're talking about two of the heavyweights. Chris's dad was David Lloyd, a legendary sitcom writer who wrote perhaps the funniest sitcom episode ever, Mary Tyler Moore in Chuckles Bites the Dust. I mean, this is a family that knows comedy, isn't it?
It is, and in fact, Chris's brother Steve was on the writing staff the last couple of years there, so when I was in the writer's room, it was always interesting to see two Lloyds there, and Chris said that the family used to love a turn of the word. It sounds like a very literate, funny family. Chris could make a shopping list funny or interesting if he chose to. It's fascinating in his emails how he says so much, yet he'll say so little.
It's fascinating being there at the end, and you'll find all of that, this whole story in Mark's book, Modern Family. 30 seconds or so left. What will happen now? I'm reading these reviews of the book and people that are wrapping up the story saying, you know what, they left the light on there at the end. Will we see a movie? Will we see a sequel? What do you think will happen? Is it over, or will we see it come back in some form?
Well, you know, nothing is etched in stone. One of the rumors as it was ending was that they might maybe pick up a series in Kansas with Mitchell and Cam. The inside joke on the set was Modern Farmily would be the name. And it is possible. There was chatter that you were seeing being leaked out in different trade papers, and I heard the chatter on set that definitely people would be interested in it because, again, it allows them all to work together again, and they enjoy the process and enjoy each other. Outside of that, you know, reunions are big and hip these days, so who knows 10, 15 years down the road what people want to do. But I would say never say never is probably the best way to put these things.
Yeah, a couple of years from now, you could see one of the homes remodeled on HGTV or something. You never know when this is going to jump up here at some place. Mark, this has been fun. The time has gone by so quickly. Mark Freeman, our guest on the program, author of Modern Family, the untold oral history of one of television's groundbreaking sitcoms. He had the full participation of cast, crew, the creative people. He's got pictures. It's a great read behind the scenes of one of the all-time great television series. Mark, it's been fun. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
It has been our pleasure. Modern Family, the untold oral history of one of television's groundbreaking sitcoms. The author is Mark Freeman. The book's available wherever books are sold. Of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.